This podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Choose from over 85,000 titles and get a free audiobook download at audibletrial.com/Bobby Blackwolf. More information after the midpoint break. Ken Allen, the music composer for great Sierra titles like Space Quest IV and King's Quest V, is here live to talk about his career as well as his recently kickstarted album. Tonight is March 3rd, 2013, and the Bobby Blackwolf Show featuring your calls and chat comments is up next. So you would say even if... Okay, I'll let you go. You talk. Wow, what happened to your voice? Thank you, Skype. So video games, that's what the show is about.
This is that one Akia Ripper from Sweden.
And what's with all the Halo hate, Bob? You've been hating on Halo a lot lately.
I just don't like shooters. I'm not saying it's a bad game, I just don't like it. Billy O.K. says he can't be seen in public playing games that aren't hardcore. What would people say? And what up, G and Chad is once again talking about wrestling. That's why it's not because they hate the fans, it's more because they have to start from scratch.
Hogwash later.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, Bobby Blackwolf.
Time zones. They are hard. They are difficult. They messed me up. But I am here. Hello, everybody. Welcome to a very special edition of the Bobby Blackwolf Show, where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as sometimes reminisce about gaming's history. That's what we're going to be doing tonight. And I am Bobby Blackwolf. You're listening to us live. Head on over to live.vognetwork.com. You'll be able to chat with us, participate with us in chat, as well as check into the show, just like Tiger Claw and SSJ 100 Matt. They checked in, got points and loot. If you're listening on the podcast, you will be able to find a passphrase somewhere in the podcast, put that in on the site, get the same amount of points and loot as the people who are here live. But I'm going to go ahead and jump right into our live interview, because he was nice enough to change things around when I told him an hour later than we were supposed to be. But I am here with one of my childhood heroes, ladies and gentlemen. He is Ken Allen, and he has a great long and storied career in the old school PC gamings. Ken, how are you doing?
I'm doing really good, and don't worry about the time zones. They always trip everybody up.
It's because I've decided to live on the East Coast.
Okay. And, been there. I'm back in California now. Yeah. So,
Ken, thank you so much for talking to me tonight. So tell us a little, for people who maybe don't know who you are, tell us a little bit about your background in the game industry and, you know, your background in the music industry in general.
Well, I started in the games industry working for Sierra Online as a composer for some of their games. The most notable ones are Space Quest and King's Quest. And then a couple of the lesser known ones are Castle of Dr. Brain and Oilswell. And I worked for Sierra for a few years, and I think I composed music for about a couple dozen games. I haven't really counted lately. After I left Sierra, I went on to do freelance composing for other games. None of them ever quite lived up to the notoriety of the Sierra games, except for maybe Descent. I did a couple of tunes for the very first Descent game. But the other non-Sierra games that I did were all kind of obscure, not very good, and I should have stayed at Sierra now, looking back on hindsight. And then since I stopped composing for games in about 96, and I've been a game producer ever since, and... my most recent project was the MMO called Rift that I think a few thousand people know about. It's pretty popular, pretty successful, and it's doing quite well.
So the reason we actually have you on is the reason I was, you know, reintroduced it to that you're back in doing the music stuff is you had a kickstarted album called Under the Half Dome. Tell us about that. It is now fully funded. So tell us a little bit about that album.
And not just fully funded, but we reached 210% of our original funding goal. So if anybody who was a backer on the Kickstarter project is listening, thank you, thank you, thank you. It was just an amazing experience. The response is just well beyond what I ever expected. In fact, my original goal was $10,000, and I was thinking maybe I wouldn't even reach that. I had no idea that there would be enthusiasm for this. So the nature of the album is... I'm going to be recreating the music that I had done for Sierra and some other games that I'm quite proud of, and I'm going to be re-recording them with up-to-date music libraries and software, and using the latest technology to bring them to life. And I'm going to be using the same technology and sound libraries that they use in Hollywood for film and TV. And when I described that, people just got very excited, saying, "Oh, I remember your Space Quest stuff. I remember your King's Quest stuff." And here am I, 20 some odd years later, going, "Really? You remember all that stuff?" So I'm grateful to those people who remember it and are going to give me a chance to rework this stuff. I kind of feel like, now I'd never put myself on par with George Lucas or Steven Spielberg, but they got a chance to redo some of their old movies with modern technology, and I kind of feel like I have a similar chance to do the same.
Yeah, we have a couple people in chat. RDG Singe says he's a backer. Go Roger Wilco.
Thank you.
Dungeon Buster says his music for the Vulcan Fury trailer was incredible stuff. Still makes me sad that it was canned every time I watch it. You want to go into a little bit about that since we brought up Vulcan Fury?
Well, I was at Interplay, and for a while I did exclusively some Star Trek games, and we wanted to do another adventure game based on Star Trek, and we were just having a lot of false starts. I think I was the third or fourth producer on the project, and I started working on it exclusively while I was there, and I was also attending UCLA in their film scoring program at the same time, so I had access to this 40-piece orchestra while I was working on the trailer for the game. And I used my semester project to create a 2-minute piece for a 40-piece orchestra to synchronize with the trailer. I was also the main producer and the main designer for the game. And I don't want to talk dirt because it's just, you know, it's in the past and I'm fine with it. But we're starting to have some creative differences. We're starting to have some delays imposed on the Vulcan Fury game. And I ended up leaving because I didn't think we were going to be able to get it done under those kinds of circumstances. And after leaving, I was kind of, my prediction kind of came to pass that sure enough, the game never got made. And I'm really sorry that it didn't. I'm trying to approach somebody at Paramount to see if maybe we can revive that game. But that's a topic for another day.
Another question from our chat room is from the backer, RDG Singe. He backed it, and he had two questions. So, you know, and they tie into Space Quest. What was it like working with the two guys from Andromeda? And he also wants to know your inspiration for Astro Chicken.
Okay, well, first of all, the two guys from Andromeda are just the most amazing guys you'll ever meet. They have the greatest sense of humor. Mark Crow, the artist of the two, and Scott Murphy is the programmer. Mark Crow, he's a bit of a polymath, someone who's really good at many things. Not only is he an artist, but he's a great designer. He wrote the original music theme for the Space Quest series. And the more I learn about what he's done, the more I'm just so impressed with the guy. And of course, Scott Murphy, not only was he is a great programmer and engineer, but he's just got one of the wittiest sense of humors you'll ever experience in this galaxy or in the Andromeda galaxy. They're both just fantastic guys to work with. And they both have a very clear vision of what they want to accomplish. So working with people with a clear vision really is a delight if anybody else has had a chance to work with creative people. So not only were they fun to work with, but they were easy to work with because they spelled out their needs very clearly. As far as Astro Chicken, that was just like turkey in the straw, I think. I mean, I'm not really sure what the question is referencing to because that theme was already written, I think. And I just kind of copied what was there and embellished on it. So if there's a follow-up question to what he means by what was my inspiration for Astro Chicken, please feel free to ask it.
All right. Yeah, I would. Usually there's about a 30-second or a minute delay. So that's why, you know, we may come back to Astro Chicken a little bit later. I want to talk a little bit about the album Under the Half Dome, because I was greatly influenced by Sierra Music back in the day. In fact, you know, when I was a kid, when I grew up, I wanted to be a game music composer, specifically at Sierra.
Wow. And it was
because of the music. And the one Christmas present I wanted from my parents was a Roland MT-32. And they never got me one. Because they didn't understand why they should pay $400 or $500 for something that made music come out of the computer.
Yeah, and that's $400 or $500 back in 1990 dollars or thereabouts.
I showed them. I got one on eBay like 10 years ago or so. So I have one now. But it was basically your work and Mark Siebert's work. In fact, I actually do own the Sierra Soundtrack Collection Volume 1 from Mark Siebert.
I bought
that when it first came out, and that was also done with some live musicians as well.
Right.
And that's why I was, you know, attracted, and I backed this project as well.
Well, thank you.
Especially because, one of the stretch goals was one of my favorite games that you did was Jones in the Fast Lane. We actually have an unhealthy obsession with Jones in the Fast Lane here on the network. And, hearing about the marching band, because I was also in marching band in high school and college, and having the marching band version of that, and you're actually doing that stretch goal even though you didn't hit it?
Yes, that's right. I figured out a way that we could actually get...
Why do you do it this way or this way?
Middle lane. I'm giving my wife directions. Sorry about that. I actually decided to go ahead and do the expense and do the extra time to do these stretch goals because they were things that I really, really wanted to do. Mm-hmm. And I revisited my high school, the band director at the high school where I grew up, and he said that we would love to do it. So I just finished yesterday. I just finished the arrangement for the marching band. I sent him off like a temp track, a simulation of what a marching band would sound like doing this. And I need to hear back from him if he has any feedback or any pointers. And then if he likes it as is, we're going to be printing out the sheet music and off we go to recording land.
So, and speaking of using those old Sierra tracks with this new album, there was a little bit of a question if you could do that, and you found out that you could. So tell us a little bit about that, the uncertainty, and how you're able to use your old work that Activision doesn't want to give up.
Well, now, Activision, they're a great company. They're a great group of people, and the sense I got from talking to them was that they just got bigger fish to fry, and this, you know, licensing my music to me directly from them is not going to make them any money, and they'd rather spend. I got my impression was they'd rather spend their lawyer's time on projects that are making money. So I told my Kickstarter backers, like, this is the reality. I don't think I can get the rights. But someone pointed out a provision in the copyright law that says that you can use something called the compulsory mechanical license to record your arrangement of any song you want. And I said, really? And I found a company that would do this, and I told them what I wanted to do, and I said, are you sure we're doing this legally? And they said, yeah, no, we did this all the time. We helped another game composer do the exact same thing. So they said they would take care of all the legal matters around this, and they have a small fee, and for the fee they'll send the license paperwork directly to Activision, and we're all good and legal. I cannot use the original MIDI tracks because they are the actual source of what Activision owns. But I can rearrange that music, and that's what I wanted to do anyway. It was just to make new arrangements of all that music. So thanks to some savvy backers who enlightened me, we actually do get to use the real music.
Excellent.
Oh, and getting back to your comment about the marching band real quick, mm-hmm. that idea actually came from one of the backers. I was asking, hey, what do you think about some stretch goals? And one of the backers said, I'd like to hear a marching band version of one of your songs. Mm-hmm. And I thought, that's perfect. I know exactly which tune would work.
Yeah.
So that idea came from the backers as well. The backers have really been great. They've just been a really fun community to interact with and have just been so supportive. So I can't speak highly enough of them.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm very glad it got funded. I'm really looking forward to it. For people who maybe missed the backing of it, should they just wait for the album to come out, or is there anything they can do now in the meantime?
Well, I there are two ways we can do this, and I haven't decided. I am going to make the album available on iTunes and Amazon and people to download. But some people have been suggesting that I make it available through PayPal now, and they can prepay now and get the album delivered when it finally goes to duplication. So I'm still toying with that. I'll let everybody know on my website, kenspace.com, of what I decide to do. Mm-hmm. But that's kind of what we're toying with at the moment.
Excellent. So also in the album, I don't know if you can talk about this. You mentioned something about Space Quest V and that you originally were working on it and then not. Are you able to elaborate on that or want to elaborate on that at all?
Well, it involves another one of those unfortunate episodes in the business world where some people's feelings get ahead of business sense. I had been contacted by Mark Crowe to create the score to Space Quest V. And he asked me to keep it on the down low because I had a policy of not working with people who left the company. And that's a fine policy, and it helped them accomplish what they need to do and preserve loyalty in their employees and all that. But we were kind of skirting around that policy, and I'd finished all the work. We got all synchronized with the game, and somehow it slipped out that I had done the music. And the powers that be decided that they were going to not use the music in order to support their policy, get their two very fine composers up there in Dynamics office where the game was developed to bust their heels to get the game out there, the music out there for the game. And so my music was pulled, that music was replaced, and it never did see the light of day. But I still remember a good part of it. All I had to do was look at the game footage again and go, oh, yeah, I remember what I wrote for that scene. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to include a small of about 8 or 9 minutes of music from Space Quest V that I originally created. It'll be the final track on the CD.
So tell me a little bit, because I had I had an ad lib as growing up, and you know, working with the PC hardware of the day. I guess you started with the Roland MT32 and then had to work backwards. How jealous are you of all these game musicians today that only have to make one version of their song?
Yeah, that's quite a luxury, isn't it? I didn't stay in the business long enough as a composer to reach that point. I was always, even up until 90, 95, 96, when I stopped doing music, I was still down arranging, as we called it, for the lower cards, all the way till my very last tune that I wrote for games. And then everything went digital and everything went CD-ROM. So how I would describe it as jealous, but I get a chance to do it now. I'm working with the Century guys, with the two guys from Andromeda. I'm writing the soundtrack to their game, and I get to have the luxury that I've missed out on all this time. So it's going to be fun. Not many people know this, but the very first game to support the Adlib card mm-hmm. was King's Quest IV.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit of trivia there for you PC gamers.
So you're actually working on the on Space Venture?
Yes. The announcement was made last month, and to the delight of myself and many others, and hopefully Scott and Mark, they both seem to be very excited that I'm writing music for the project. Mm-hmm. In fact, I've already written about 3 or 4 pieces already. Let me get seated here and get comfortable. Yeah, I've already written 3 or 4 pieces for the game already, and now I've got my first animatic that I'm putting music and sound effects to as we speak.
Yep.
So we're going back to doing adventure games, and it's going to be all fun and games again.
Excellent. Well, I do really appreciate you taking the time to speak to us. If there's any last-minute questions in chat, you have about a minute or so to get them in. So what other are you working on? Other games now, or are you basically just working on Under the Half Dome? Or what are you working on in your day job? Maybe.
I'm taking a break from my day job as a game producer, mm-hmm. and I'm working exclusively on the album and on the game for Scott and Mark. Mm-hmm. I have approached Jim Walls because Jim Walls, the creator of the Police Quest series, has announced that he is going to kickstart a game, a police adventure game, and I'm going to be meeting with Jim Walls in about 2 weeks, and we're going to sit down and talk about stuff like this. I did his other games. When he was at Tsunami, I did his game that was called Blue Force. So we've worked together, and we had a really good working relationship then. So if his game gets funded, there'd be a possibility that I'll be working on his game as well.
So Rob Roberts in chat asks, if you heard about Austin Wintory's Grammy nomination. He was nominated in Best Score Soundtrack for Visual Media for Journey, which was out on the PlayStation 3. And what do you think about gaming soundtrack breakthroughs into the mainstream?
I
I think it's long overdue, to be honest. And that's just, you know, purely purely selfish reasons, because we bust our humps trying to get music into these games, and a lot of us give our best work to this medium. And to have recognition like Grammys, I think, you know, I think it's due for sure. And congratulations. I mean, you know, that's quite an achievement. Games are out of the mainstream as far as most musicians are concerned, and for it to be recognized as a major art form is really gratifying. And I feel lucky to have been there at the beginning of creating this art form. And you know, congratulations to those people who are achieving these awards for sure.
And as a corollary, I know it was after you were gone. Who do we have to blame for King's Quest VI Girl in the Tower?
You know what? You've got Google. You've got the internet. You can find out yourself. I make it a policy not to talk dirt, especially in public.
Gotcha. I was making a Girl in the Tower reference there anyway. Because that was originally...
Go ahead.
No, it was just for people that don't know, Girl in the Tower was the lyrical track on King's Quest VI, and they were actually trying to get it into top 40 stations in the U.S. So that's why I was...
I recall that. Yes, I do recall that. Nope, you've got the power of Google at your fingertips there. You go for it, those of you who are listening.
RDG Singe wants to know, can you tell any funny anecdote while working on King's Quest?
Well, for King's Quest V, that was I did about three pieces or maybe four that I recall out of the whole thing. That was actually Mark Siebert's showcase. Mm-hmm. And the Space Quest IV was my showcase. So... let me think about this. I wrote the Gypsies theme and the Sea Hermits theme, and I think the Owl's theme, I forget his name. But you know what? He became equally reviled during development as he was by many of the players. Mm-hmm. And so it was kind of funny to see that sensibility kind of find footage in the gaming world, that, you know, oh man, this annoying owl. Ah. But you know what? It was a risk that Roberta took in an adventure game, design wise, to have a companion main character with you. Not all risks pay off. So hats off to Roberta for trying something new. It's just that, you know, not all risks pan out. Oh.
Tiger Claw in chat wants to know what you think about the resurgence of the point-and-click adventure games, basically because of Telltale Games and The Walking Dead and what they've been doing.
Oh, man. You know what? I just finished playing through the entire Back to the Future series, all five installments. Man, I miss those games. I love the Telltale Games. And I'm getting ready to download their Wallace and Gromit series. Mm-hmm. But... I don't know that outside of these Kickstarter projects and Telltale that there will be mainstream acceptance of adventure games. It's a very unique experience. There's usually only one path to solving puzzles in adventure games, and I find that to be a weakness. In fact, the first game I designed, it was an adventure game, and I knew this single path to completion was a problem, so I made it so that you could... There were three characters you could switch between at any time during the game, so that if you couldn't solve this guy's puzzle, you could go over and try one of the other two guys that were main characters. It wasn't a great game, and the innovation never stuck because nobody else, as far as I know, ever adopted it. But adventure games have a unique appeal, and I love the idea that there's a resurgence, but they're not games that I think big publishers are going to take risks on. I mean, I know that Activision is watching all the Sierra Kickstarters very closely to see, you know, if there is a resurgence. So I could be wrong. I could be completely off base, and there may very well be, you know, a bigger market than there currently is.
Yeah, Walking Dead made a pretty big mainstream splash, but I think that was also because of the property that they had.
And I think that's the key right there. I think you just named it. The big success stories are Back to the Future, Wallace and Gromit, Walking Dead. These games have a following. The games that have a big appeal also are, they have a lot of charm, so there's already the built-in love for the characters. And so if there is a resurgence of point-and-click adventure games, I think they will be based on well-established IP. I don't think you'll be able to find any created-from-scratch adventure games anytime soon, except from the Sierra guys. I got to hand it to these guys. They jumped out there. They got their Kickstarters off the ground. Every single one of them has been funded. Mm-hmm. I feel lucky to have been part of that success story. I'm Sierra Project number 5 that's been funded. There's more coming. I just know it. Mm-hmm. So maybe all of this stuff is going to result in bigger publishers saying, hey, we probably should throw a few $1 million at a production of one of these and see if it's worthwhile.
And the final question I'm going to ask is from Dungeon Buster. He says, as the years advance, it becomes harder and harder to preserve pieces of gaming's history since not everyone archives their stuff in the same way, if at all. Do you, Ken, have an archive of all the music you've ever done in the past?
You know what? I tried to do that. As technology changes, like we go from IDE drives to SATA drives, you've got to copy all that data over again to the new technology to preserve it. And somewhere along the line, I lost it all. One of my hard drives crashed. It was the only copy I had, and I hadn't been careful enough like I had in the past to archive it. But the fortunate thing is, a lot of these games you can still download from GOG.com and other places, and with technology, you can stream the MIDI data right out of them and preserve them to hard drive. So a lot of the games that are out there, I can still get them. There's a few SNES games that I did, and I found a tool that will let me extract the music files for those. So I didn't preserve them, but I can probably get most of them back. And also the other thing is, thanks to YouTube, people have been posting their Let's Play videos. We can at least get audio representations of those files and maybe not the MIDIs. So, yeah, we'll be able to get it all back.
Yeah, and there's actually a great website, queststudios.com, has a lot of the old Sierra games, at least both in the MT32 and General MIDI, as well as digital MP3 and OGG format.
Yeah, well, Tom, the guy who runs the site, he was one of my Kickstarter posse. I formed a posse to help me kind of come up with ideas for rewards and stuff. And Tom was one of the guys who generously offered some ideas and his moral support. So, yeah, Quest Studios is a great website for that stuff.
Well, Ken, thank you so much for spending some time with us. Let us know, so what are your websites? Where can people find more of your work and more about Under the Half Dome?
Well, I've got a Facebook page. Just search for Under the Half Dome on Facebook and you'll find the page and go ahead and join and be one of the people that are part of the group there. My website is kenspace.com, kenspace.com, and I post everything that I post everywhere else on my website. So if you just go to my blog, you'll see everything that is posted everywhere else. Other than that, I've got a YouTube channel, youtube.com/Mr. Ken Allen. I've got a SoundCloud channel, which has my podcast and a couple of samples of music. Just go to SoundCloud and search for Ken Allen, and you'll eventually find me there. I guess there's a few other Ken Allens. That's pretty much it. If you want to reach out to me, there's a way to do that on my blog. I'm sure if you're intent on finding me, you'll find a way because I'm not hiding.
Right. So thank you so much. We're going out with a track from your SoundCloud. Tell us a little bit. You sent me High Adventure. Tell me a little bit about this.
Well, this is a piece I had written for Space Venture, for one of the major characters. And I didn't know enough about this character to really know what kind of music he wanted. So I just took a stab in the dark and I thought, this is for our swaggering main character who kind of bumbles, but he needs this overstated, hero music to present himself in the game. And Mark says, no, we don't want that. We want something else. So this is a game this is a piece of music that was rejected for Space Venture, but it's available for people to listen to at their leisure. It's called High Adventure. It's on my SoundCloud channel, and I appreciate you playing it. Feel free.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Ken. I'm glad you got home safely. And
thanks, Bobby.
And I'm looking forward to the album because I've kickstarted it. And this was your thank you call, so you're done with that.
Yeah, I'm working on the thank you song, by the way, for those who pledged and helped me reach the stretch goal that we reached. I am writing the thank you song as we speak. So,
all right,
it'll be fun.
All right. Thank you so much, Ken Allen. We're going to take a quick music break here on the Voice of Geeks Network. Then you'll be able to call in. We'll talk about some of the other more recent stuff. This is High Adventure by Ken Allen. You're participating with the Bobby Blackwell Show here on the Voice of Geeks Network at VogNetwork.com.
The voice of Marty McFly. When I am not traveling back in time with Telltale Games, I'm listening to the Bobby Blackwell Show.
Ken Allen likes Back to the Future, so AJ Locascio, the voice of Marty McFly, welcomes you back. I'm glad the time zone thing worked out. So if you want to leave a bumper, you can just email me an MP3 with just your voice or to bumpers@bobbyblackwell.com or call me on the toll-free number and leave a voicemail. Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you a chance to check out their service. You can get that 30-day free trial, get a free audiobook, and that's yours to keep, even if you cancel before the trial is over. There's over a million audiobooks on there, and if you lose them on a hard drive crash, you could probably get them back from Audible once you get them. So you can make any of those your free audiobook by going to audibletrial.com/Bobby Blackwolf. So the phones are now open. Bobby Blackwell Show on Skype, 1-888-36-GAME-1, toll-free in North America. I know we didn't actually talk about any news in the first first act, but you can call in. There actually was some stuff we can talk about, and it's up to you to call in and talk about them. One of the things I will go ahead and start on before we get any calls is that I will read – I try to read the comments from the previous episode, and we only got one, Flacco Jones. He's point-whoring on VogNetwork.com. He says, great analysis of the whole PlayStation 4 announcement and non-announcements. Here's my take on the Gaikai stuff. Beyond the demos and trials and backwards compatibility for games you own, I think they could try to take this to another level and turn it into a Netflix streaming of video games. I could see them making a large selection of PlayStation 1, 2, and 3 library available to stream for a monthly fee of, say, $15. Not the entire library, but a selection that changes every so month, every so many months. What do you and the VOG listeners think of a service like that? And to me, I said, I said, that sounds a lot like GameTap, which I loved. I loved GameTap. And GameTap was a monthly fee service for PC, and you downloaded, you didn't stream the games like Gaikai, you actually downloaded the games to your PC. But it was a monthly service, and they, you know, there was games that were rotated out, which caused a lot of pain for some people. But, you know, they had all these great, you know, they had a lot of ROMs from the early days, and you could actually do, like, leaderboards and multiplayer in some of them. But they also had PC games that you could download. And as long as you were a monthly subscription to GameTap, and it was based off of the cable television model because it was owned by Turner at the time, that's exactly what it was. And it didn't really completely catch on. And so Turner sold it to a French company, and now, I mean, GameTap's still around, but it's nothing like what it was. I think it's going to take a while for people to really latch onto that, because I can see the one big complaint people are going to have with a GameTap-like service with over Gaikai, where it's a monthly fee, is, you know, I have this PS2 game sitting right here. Why do I have to pay $15 a month to play this game in my PlayStation 4? And that's where you're going to find the biggest disconnect. For me, I probably would do it because then I'd be able to play games maybe I never did own over the service. There was another console that wanted to do this. It was the Phantom. Anybody remember the Phantom? Infineon Labs Phantom? They wanted to be kind of a rental service, kind of like this for PC games, and actually get into the hotel space. So we're going to stop talking about that and take this call. Bobby Black will show you are on the air. Who is this?
It's cold outside. It's Jim Sally, Bobby.
Jim, yeah, I can imagine it's cold out there because we actually saw two snowflakes last night here in Atlanta. So if we see two snowflakes, it must be bad up there.
Oh, Bobby, I'm standing outside right now, and I'm just shivering and shaking. Oh, I'm shivering and I'm shaking.
Why are you outside?
I'm partaking in an adult activity which cannot be shared indoors.
Ah.
You know what I mean?
I know what you mean.
It's an adult activity.
Yes.
Now, listen, Bobby. Speaking of our great, Ken was on tonight. He made some great songs from back in the day,
yes.
Some iconic music.
Mm-hmm.
Bobby, if you were, let's say, on a desert island and you had to listen to one song from a video game over and over and over again, what song would that be, Bobby? This is my video game music question of the day for you.
Probably Baba Yetu.
What is this song?
That's the Civilization 4 song.
Oh, come on, Bobby. Really? That's the song you'd have played in the background?
Yeah.
You know what song I would have in the background,
what would
Bobby?
You have?
The Super Mario Brothers theme, guy. Because mm-hmm. it's so uplifting and happy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, really, if you I had more time, song? I would find, like, the longest video game song ever. And have that, you know, that way, you know, but really, Baba Yetu, that's my favorite one.
The other song that I think is the greatest music, I think it's the greatest video game song of all time,
mm-hmm.
and that's the background theme when you're in the town of Diablo in the very first game.
Mm-hmm.
That creepy, remember that creepy
yes.
music from Diablo, Bobby?
Yes.
With creepy guitar in the background. Oh my God, Bobby. A friend of mine played it at his wedding as like dinner music when we were sitting down. It creeped me out a little bit. I kept looking for ghouls and goblins. That song, man. Listening to that song, Bobby. Like, as uplifting and happy as Super Mario makes me feel, Diablo 3 makes me think zombies are going to come get me or something, man. It's crazy.
I would play that at my wedding if you were there. Just to watch
Bobby,
you freak out.
You should have been at my wedding, man. I had the best songs at my wedding. We came walking into Moving On Up. That was our song when we came walking into the theater. And then our first song of the night was the theme from Growing Pains. Remember that song, Bobby?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The theme from that was our first dance, man. I thought it was a perfect song for our first dance. It's good times. Music, people, music. It makes everything, man. It makes everything good. So the next time you're listening to a great song on your video game that you're playing, thank someone like Bobby, man, for taking the time and making great music for us to listen to while we play our great games. Okay, Bobby?
Yep.
I'm going to have a good night, man. Let someone else call in.
All right. Get warmed up.
Oh, it's so cold. I forgot. I almost said a bad word, Bobby. Get the thing ready. Sorry.
Get inside, buddy. And get warm so you can speak normal.
You got that right. Thanks, Bobby. Sorry, man. I'm really sorry.
Okay, no,
bye. Okay. See you later, bud.
Jim, Sally calling in. Bobby Blackwell Show on Skype, 1-888-36-GAME-1, toll-free in North America. To register participation for this week's episode of the Bobby Blackwolf Show on VogNetwork.com, use the passphrase, teaching. Want to let you know, if you're listening live, this is probably the podcast not going to be up today. Civilization Revolution is on sale in that big Xbox Live sale, which I even partook in a little bit. The big Xbox Live sale, it is available, and it's a great entry drug into the Civilization series. And get it on Xbox 360. It is wonderful. It is a console version of Civilization, but it is the perfect gateway drug to get into the real PC Civilizations. And that Xbox Live sale, even I'm partaking in it, I actually got BioShock. Like, yes, like me, I don't like first-person shooters or really that much scary stuff, and I got BioShock, the first one, because it was 400 points. So it's going to sit, you know, they're trying to do the whole Steam thing, I guess. And, you know, where you start having this backlog of games and stuff. I got that, and then I got Grid, which I rented a long time ago, and then realized why I sent it back. We have another call here on the line. Bobby Blackwell Show, you are on the air. Who is this?
Hey, what's up, Bobby? This is Breakman.
Breakman, what's going on?
We started talking about Civ Rev. Mm-hmm. That game is good.
Yes,
I really like that game.
I want to start playing it again.
I rented that game.
Mm-hmm.
What?
I'm hoping to start playing it again. Maybe with more people buying it.
Yeah, I'd definitely have to buy it. How many points is it right now?
God, I'd have to scroll. I think it's 800 space bucks right now.
I don't think I have that much right now. Damn it. Oh, well. It's a great game. I rented it a long time ago, back when FNG was still on the air.
Mm-hmm.
And I should have been practicing for a Street Fighter tournament that happened. There's a game called Civ Rev that was really addictive, and it was really good. You've played it on the PC, right? And I'm saying for if anybody's played it on the PC, I lost my train of thought. I'm sorry.
Civ Rev is awesome.
Yeah, Civ Rev is an awesome game. What I was trying to say is the people that played it on the PC should be really fond of it, but the people who have never played it should try it, like, because it's made...
It's made for them.
It is like a gateway for us.
Yeah.
It is, yeah. I'm sorry.
And it's quicker. It's quicker than playing a regular game of Civ. It goes a lot quicker. I loved playing it, and I was pleasantly surprised with Civilization Revolution.
My favorite way is always to conquer. I always love killing off the competition.
Yeah. That's the easiest way to win.
It's also the most fun. I like conquering France and making their cities want to beg me to join them. I'm an evil dictator, I think.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I've done that too. That's how I play normal Civilization. It's the easiest way.
Yeah. Well, dark side, right?
Mm-hmm.
Quickest path.
Yeah.
I like it. We want peace. Please give us peace. No? Pay me some money.
Mm-hmm.
And then I still attack them.
Yeah. Peaceful. Yeah, no, that's actually the one multiplayer game of Civilization V I've been able to get into, because the games take so long. That's what it was, is I was the warmonger. And then the guy I was playing with, he was trying to do the scientific victory, so I was protecting him, and we had an alliance against the AI. It was the most fun I had had. And, I mean, I'm going around, like, killing everybody and defending him and everything, and he's going for the scientific victory. So he was the brains, I was the muscle, and we wound up, you know, kicking ass.
Nice. I think I did those maybe once each just to get the achievements for them. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
but other than that, I'm an evil monster who likes everyone's pain and suffering.
Mm-hmm.
Brings joy to me. I don't know.
I rule with an iron banhammer.
Yeah, exactly.
So, have you taken part in this Xbox Live sale at all?
No, I haven't. I haven't had any. I don't have any points right now.
Well, you can use real dollars since it's game on demand. You can give them your credit card information and trust them with it.
I know. This sale kind of was a surprise. I was, I had a kind of a short vacation last week, so I'm kind of broke right now.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know.
So Xbox is like, please don't forget us. Please don't forget the Xbox. Please.
Yeah, so I spent a lot of money on that, and what's happening with the PlayStation 4, all the people bought PlayStation 3 games, makes me think that's probably what. I don't think that's necessarily what's going to happen with Xbox, the next system, but maybe with the system they do after that or something in the future. You know, all these games I've spent a lot of money on are just going to disappear.
Yeah. Yeah, but they'll only disappear if you get rid of the old console.
Well, with the Xbox 360, the history I've had with them failing, I wouldn't even have known about the FNG if it hadn't been for one of my Xbox dying.
Yeah.
Wanted to try and get it repaired, and I found out about CC Gaming, and saw the FNG thing, and,
Thank you, Microsoft. I find it funny, like, everybody does that now, and I was just a little bit too ahead of the time. Like, now live streaming is, like, big, and, like, if I could do FNG now, I'd have so much better equipment and so much better software to do it, and it's, like, it's now catching on, and, you know, PlayStation 4 is integrating it and everything, and I'm like... I did it 2 years too early.
Such you are a Dreamcast of podcast.
I am. So, anyway, thanks for your call, man. I appreciate it.
All right, later, Bobby.
Bacon Bits asked, "Was that a dig at PSN?" No, it was a dig at the FIFA hack, or whatever the hack was that everybody used to get FIFA points. It was actually a dig at Xbox. And Bacon Bits, like, they got hacked too. They're like, yeah, they got hacked, but they didn't actually fix the hole. They pretended it never happened, whereas Sony actually, like, took it down and fixed the hole. So that's it. That's all the calls I'm going to take for tonight. Coming up next here on the Voice of Geeks Network at VogNetwork.com, Or Sonos Radio, three people out in Sacramento, California, who talk about games for a little bit longer than I do because they have more time. So if Skype wants to cooperate on this one, they actually have the right. They know the time zones. I don't know time zones. Sacramento, are you guys there?
We're here, Bobby, as we are at 6 o'clock Pacific every week.
What messed me up, actually, I realized this afterwards, and it's, I mean, I should have been smarter. On Skype at the top, it'll actually give the local time.
Right.
For the other person, and his is set to Mountain Time.
Oh.
So I was confused, and I was going off of that time. I'm like, oh, it's in an hour and a half. So I looked at his time, added an hour and a half, and it turns out I told him it was 5:50 to 6:30 instead of.
That makes sense. I mean, if his time was set wrong or whatever, that makes a lot more sense. That's too bad.
But I should have still
remembered.
Because I say 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific all the time.
Do you know, is he in NorCal or SoCal? Do you know?
He is in, I don't know.
That's all right. Well, he's got to be wherever Tryon's at. I had no idea who was connected to Rift.
Mm-hmm.
Tryon's in L.A.
Oh, okay, then he's in L.A. That's the answer. Tryon. I had no idea who was connected to Rift. I learned something on the Bobby Blackwolf show tonight.
I hope you learned more than just that.
I did learn more than that, but that was the one that made me go, oh, really?
So since he's connected to Tryon, is he doing music for Defiance?
He doesn't do music anymore.
Oh.
He switched to game design. And game development, but he's actually not working right now either. He's taking it because that was one of the questions we asked. He's working full bore on the Kickstarter and then on Space Venture.
Well, I'm happy his Kickstarter worked out, and clearly there's a very rabid following still for the old Sierra Adventure. It makes you wonder why that stuff ever went away in the first place.
It's because there wasn't a rabid following for it 15 years ago.
For a short time, it died out, but now it's back with a vengeance. So.
Yeah, what wound up happening with the old adventure games is that PCs actually got good and could do action games like consoles, because when the Sierra Adventure games were coming out, you couldn't do the fast action stuff on PCs. The hardware just wasn't powerful enough. And so when you could do your fast action games like Descent and Quake and all that stuff, people stopped playing the slow adventure games, and they wanted more of the quick action games like they got on their Nintendos.
I don't know. Gorillaz was pretty fast action if I remember correctly.
So, but that's what at least Sierra said was the death of the adventure game, was just PCs got powerful enough to actually do the action games. So, you know, because Sierra actually published the first Half-Life.
Hmm.
That's a Sierra title, technically.
Interesting.
That was after Vivendi bought them and stuff like that. But, Sierra was the publisher of the original Half-Life.
Wow. Yeah, that's right. Because they did something with the expansion as well, huh? Mm-hmm.
See, I'm dropping even more knowledge on you.
Well, that was one. It's like one of those. Oh yeah, I did know that. I just forgot.
Or you know.
Do 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 do. So what else? What's going on with you guys?
Well, Darkstalker's back. She was out last week, but she's back with a vengeance tonight to talk all about the final Mass Effect DLC that's out on Tuesday.
My mouth is full of nuts.
Your favorite series, Bobby, to hear us talk about on OLR is coming to an end on Tuesday. The very last
DLC. Not.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's always.
I mean, come on.
What's in the future? But
they already announced. Yeah.
As far as this trilogy goes, it's going to be over.
Oh well.
Oh well. To answer bacon bits, I'm eating cashews.
So the final Mass Effect. Are you going to cry?
I might. Depends what the story.
I'm going to cry if the writing is still awful.
I'm curious what the story is all. I actually don't really know a lot about what to expect. And there's a lot of rumors going around. So I'm hearing there might be more of the love interest. And
there
better
be lots of Garrus love.
I was theorizing maybe you can finally marry your love interest, and that would give people like a real satisfying ending
that
of sorts.
That would piss off Becky so much.
Really?
Because she romanced Thane.
It was all a dream.
Anyhow, but I mean,
I want a pet legion.
If you want to bring all the angry mouth breathing ending complainers of Mass Effect some closure, I think being able to like marry your love interest would be a really cool way to do it, or some
in
type
your
of resolution.
Apartment on the Citadel. Classy.
It's your favorite apartment on the Citadel.
Exactly.
Havoc all Garrus DLC. Thank you.
I'm sure we'll have plenty more to talk about it next week.
Yeah, see, the next Mass Effect game is all going to be you're going to play as Garrus.
Hopefully.
Ooh. I kind of
doubt it, though. I think they're going to go in a different direction where it's either kind of like a parallel story in the same universe or a flash forward, flash reverse. I just you know, when they say they're done, I kind of believe them, especially after all the crap they got over the ending, which was so unnecessary. And if Final Fantasy, thank gosh, the internet wasn't really around the way it is today when Final Fantasy VII first came out. That's all I have to say.
And to Fifth Dream, the only way that you could romance Trainer was if you were playing a femship.
That's true.
She doesn't swing the way of the boys.
That's true. Very true.
Yeah. Speaking of Final Fantasy VII, I was actually at an event Friday night, and I was talking to somebody that was there. And the event was actually, it was a filming of a documentary, an indie documentary. It was called It's Dangerous to Go Alone. And it's actually about the fandom around the original 8-bit Legend of Zeldas. And I was actually talking to the wife of the guy who's producing it. And she was like, yeah, I just got my husband Final Fantasy VII. He had never played it. And I was saying, yeah, you know, that was the first game that made a lot of people cry and made a lot of people emotional. I know some people on this call didn't, but it was like that. And she's like, oh, my God. And she had no clue.
Hmm.
And I was like, avoid the internet. Don't look it up. And I was like, you've watched Harry Potter, read Harry. Oh yeah, it's on the same level as everybody yelling Snape kills Dumbledore, and that's where I left it. But yeah, so she's actually looking forward. She's like, when does it happen? I'm like, well, kind of like 10 to 15 hours in. So there's still people out there that haven't experienced that moment.
Wow.
But I wonder if it's going to be the same for her if she just comes in and watches the moment and not the build up, because that's the emotional attachment, is the build up for the first 10 to 15 hours.
Or in Darksiders' case, resentment.
Right.
But, you know, I found out that my save file for my favorite scene in the game is still intact.
It's horrible.
Right before that Genova battle, you know?
Yeah, right.
Right before the, yeah.
But yeah, so I mean, I was there, and I might actually be in the movie. I gave 2 sound bites. And but they were actually filming. It's a documentary about, they actually talked to a lot of people that are in the Zelda fandom. Like, they actually found the people that did that Hero of Time movie that got IP'd by Nintendo.
Oh, yeah.
It was actually being filmed here in Atlanta, and I knew it was being filmed in Atlanta. I just didn't know where and when, so that's why I never really did anything with it when they were filming it. But they finished it, premiered it in New York in an actual movie theater, and then Nintendo's lawyers came by and said, no. And but they actually were showing it then. And he also showed like a couple of, like, there's a Link to the Past rock opera on YouTube, and he showed that, and that was hilarious in a room full of people. And he's going around like interviewing all these people that did like Zelda fan art and artists and stuff that do Zelda stuff. And he was, since there were like a couple people in Atlanta he wanted to talk to, he had this art gallery downtown Atlanta. He actually brought some stuff in, artists in, and had all of us there, and basically said, you know, anybody who has any memories of the 8-bit Zeldas, come on and interview. And so that's, I came out there. And so this documentary, he's thinking he's going to have the trailer out in April. They've already shot a lot of it. And then it's going to come out later this year.
And hopefully it doesn't get, as Havoc978 in chat says, Nintendo-owned. But it shouldn't, because it's not, it's more commentary.
It's a commentary. It's not a story set in the universe like Hero of Time was.
I was wondering the same thing as Tiger Claw was in chat. Does the Link to the Past rock opera have to do with that Mario rock opera from years ago?
No, it doesn't. And because he was asking me, and I'm like, I've seen the Mario rock opera. No, this is, you can actually find it on YouTube. It's called Link to the Past rock opera. It's by the amazing Brando. And it's 20 minutes long, and it's actually set to the 16-bit. Like, they show the 16-bit. They show the game footage, but it's them singing over it. And they go through, basically, they just have the light world now. They're working on the dark world. But it actually has like a Back to the Future sequence, because one of the songs actually just opposes right in with Back to the Future. Like, they do a mashup of it, and they do a Gorillaz song in it when Link eats the mushroom. They're being interviewed for this documentary, and there's a couple other people that are being interviewed. There's like a ROM hack that's a guy. He's in Atlanta, and they're interviewing him. So it's kind of interesting. And then they say in this documentary, there's a false narrative in between the documentary parts, and that was the part we were filming. So it's like there's actually like a story tying all the documentary parts together. It's a false story. That's actually a dramatization, and that's what they were filming Friday night.
Interesting.
So I got a lot of pictures and stuff. I even have pictures of them filming other people. So there may be something on Vogue of it soon.
Very cool.
So that's where I was at then. So what else are you guys going to be talking about tonight?
Tonight on Orange Lounge Radio, some updates from EA, including a quote I'm not sure everybody's going to agree with. We're going to talk about that a little later on. Also, some more bad news for Wii U. You know, I'm trying to support them best I can, but two big games, boop, off the Wii U. We're going to talk about that a little bit later. As well as, and Bobby, I know you're heading out to PAX East. Apparently, two companies set to debut games at PAX East. One of them, Blizzard, which is pretty amazing. And we're talking debut. So we already know about Diablo 3 and all that. And they said it's not Titan. So what could it be? I have a theory. We'll get into that in tonight's show.
Yeah, I need to get those appointments.
Yes, you do.
Oh, also, I've fallen screaming into a new fandom.
A new one?
A new one.
Finally.
Is it Minecraft?
No.
Damn it.
Homestuck.
All right. Orange Lounge Radio is up next. Thanks so much, guys.
Thank you, as always.
So that is it for me. I will be back next Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, right here on the Voice of Geeks Network at VogNetwork.com after attending MomoCon. Never heard of MomoCon. It is another anime gaming-centric convention here in Atlanta. It's actually in one of the hotels that DragonCon uses. It's down in downtown Atlanta. It's in the Hilton. I am actually going to be going. I was... big thanks to them. They actually processed my press application very late and admitted me in as press. So hopefully I will be talking to some game developers that are there. There are a couple game companies there. There are a couple of other personalities there. So you will be able to hear all about MomoCon next week, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, right here on the Bobby Blackwolf Show at VogNetwork.com. You can leave me a voicemail on any topic or leave a bumper for use in the show on the toll-free number 1-888-36-GAME-1, or you can email me an MP3 to bumpers@BobbyBlackwolf.com. I am on Facebook at Facebook.com/BobbyBlackwolf, Twitter and Vine as Bobby Blackwolf. I posted a Space Quest 4 Vine today. Or my website, BobbyBlackwolf.com. If you like the show, tell a friend. If you hate the show, tell an enemy. I don't care. Just tell someone. The show's not for everybody, but it may be for somebody who doesn't know about it yet. But I would not be able to make the live show work without the help of the chatters. So thank you very much. Dark Sakura, Dark Tetsuya, DC Nate, DJ Ronma S, Hecht, Rob Roberts, The Rob D, VXJasonXV, DeBlue Guy, Doomplague, Fifth Dream, Havoc978, Shadow NextGen, Loki, Alan Alchemy, Alphican Anagram, Bacon Bits, Bob Coffee, Brad from Pod Culture, Brothers Grimm 2, Burr, Citabria, Critical Myth, D5T, Dungeon Buster, Evil, Gamer Girl, GK128, Akuma JP, Immortal King, Kazan, Matt Cube, Melted General, Misty, Monster B, MXC, MXT, Orange Wright, Raginator, RDG Singe, Shane Alinko, Sean, SSJ100 Matt, Technus, Tiger Claw, Toagak, True, What Up G, Zappy, Zether, and Zona. So that is it for me. We'll learn my time zones one of these days, but thank you so much. KenSpace.com is Ken Allen's website. It has everything. Under the Half Dome is the Kickstarter and the album. See you next week.
A winner is you. The views and opinions expressed are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and are not necessarily the opinions of
the VOG Network, people who need to hire new voiceover guys,
or your mom. Although if Bobby said it, it really should be. This has been a production of Bobby Blackwolf Studios.